here's a story from The World.
The civil war in Syria has been going on for a decade now with no end in sight. But as President Bashar al-Assad consolidates his control over most of Syria, there's one rebel leader in the strongest position to defy him, Abu Muhammad al-Jolani. Jolani is also, according to most of the Western world, a terrorist. And he's the subject of a new Frontline documentary by Martin Smith. Smith is the first American journalist to sit down and interview Jolani. He's with me now to unpack that experience. Welcome, Martin.
Thank you, Carol.
Abu Muhammad al-Jolani, he's not a household name in the U.S., but he's a critical person in the Syrian war right now because he controls one of the last regions of Syria that Assad does not control, the region around the city of Idlib. Does that fact alone make him a player, someone that the U.S. should take seriously?
It does. It does because he is the last man standing among the opposition. He's not a well-known name because he kept his identity hidden for a long time. Up until about 2016, he was not even seen. He wanted to obscure his relationships with Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi of the Islamic State, and he wanted to obscure his relationships with al-Qaeda. In recent years, he's been trying to come out of that hiding place, if you will, and play a role. He sees Assad as extremely weak. Indeed, the Syrian economy is weak, and he wants to be a player in some way, shape, or form.
Jolani, at a certain point, you mentioned he's linked with ISIS and al-Qaeda, but at a certain point, he creates al-Nusra. What distinguishes that from his links and the tactics of ISIS and al-Qaeda?
Yeah, he talks to me in the interview about thinking hard about how he would fight a jihad in a better way, how he would improve it. And he says he didn't like Zarqawi's approach, which was to try to foment a sectarian war to destabilize Iraq after the U.S. invasion. He wanted to fight Assad. He wanted to return and fight the dictator Assad in Syria and not fight against other jihadis or fight a sectarian war. And so he needed help in doing that. So he actually went to Baghdadi, sat down with him, and asked him for help to set up his own branch of al-Qaeda in Syria. He gets an allowance of $50,000 to $60,000 a month from Baghdadi, and he gets a few men. They cross over into Syria, and he founds this group, Jabhat al-Nusra. And in fact, he grows very quickly and becomes very successful, and he maintains that his MO was to fight Assad and not to kill civilians, as was done by Zarqawi and then Baghdadi in Iraq. So it's a different kind of al-Qaeda chapter, if you will.
Jolani agreed to sit down with you for an interview. So it's clear he wants something. What is that?
Obviously, he wants a certain respectability. He wants to show that he's in some ways a reasonable, intelligent, aware leader who maybe the United States should take another look at.
It's interesting because when Jolani looks into the camera, he appears to be very sincere, soft-spoken, even-keeled man. And that's clearly the image he wants to cultivate. But you interviewed human rights observers and U.S. diplomats who say, no, this guy's different. What do they say about him?
Yeah, he's soft-spoken. He's an intelligent guy. And he's recognizing that he needs to somehow impress upon people that he is sincere. I spent 7 days there. I can't say that everything about him is clear, but he is trying to go through some kind of transformation, and you can say it's for completely cynical reasons, or you can say, no, he's being realistic and pragmatic here. But yes, he wants to have some recognition, and you mentioned the other people, statespeople, like former ambassador to Iraq and Turkey, and the U.S. representative to the Syrian situation, James Jeffrey. He clearly states that, first of all, Idlib is a very important part of Syria, and Syria is a very important part of the Middle East, and that Jolani represents the best option for dealing with the problems there.
When Jolani claims that he's undergone a transformation, what does he mean? A transformation from what to what?
What was explained to me is that he doesn't want to fight war anymore. He's been through 20 years of fighting jihad in Iraq and Syria. Now, one of the problems I think that he has is that he believes in Sharia law. Sharia law rejects democracy in his case. And by rejecting democracy, you have to ask yourself, well, how is he going to deal with people who are that object to him. So going forward, he simply says, yeah, I rule by Sharia law because it's just, but it's kind of up to him as to what's just. And I see that as a looming problem as we go forward.
What ideally does he want from the U.S.? I mean, he's speaking to you. He's got the attention of the Biden administration. He's got the attention of Americans. Ideally, what is he hoping for?
It's not entirely clear to me, other than that he wants a certain respectability and he wants to come out of the cold and not be seen as a terrorist. He wants the terrorist designation lifted, but he was reluctant to say it in clear language.
Have you gotten any blowback for interviewing him, for giving him airtime?
Sure. Yeah. And I expect more once the program airs. The very idea that I would sit down with somebody who was a former al-Qaeda commander. Look, a lot of families in America lost people on 9/11 and lost people in the war in Iraq. So it's understandable. Emotions run high. I see my role as a journalist is to talk to everybody, and I've done that all my career. We were careful to ask him the questions that we needed to ask, and to add the voices that we needed to ask, and to contextualize. But the very idea of sitting down with somebody who's a former al-Qaeda commander is anathema to many people.
Martin Smith reported the Frontline documentary, The Jihadist, an examination of Abu Muhammad al-Jolani's role in the Syrian civil war. It's produced with Marcela Gaviria and airs on PBS stations tomorrow evening. Martin, thanks so much.
Carol, thank you.